This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Cray names Baker Super, Mellanox and NVIDIA intros GPU Direct, and T-Platforms manages Rossano.
The news heats up as we take a look ahead to ISC.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for May 28th, 2010, available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Good morning, Addison.
Hey, good morning, Michael.
So we're about to head off to Hamburg to ISC.
Yeah, are you packed?
I am not packed, but it's hours away, so I better get to it.
Yeah, me too. Time to get ready to go.
Time to get ready. So it's looking like it's shaping up to be a very interesting show. Lots of exhibitors, lots of attendees. It's going to be extra packed this year.
Yeah, if you haven't heard from me yet, I'd love to meet with you, and let's get in touch and get a meeting on the calendar. If you're going to be there, I'd love to see you.
And yeah, there'll be plenty of people there to see. I think there's going to be like close to 150 exhibitors this year, which is a record for them. So it's going to be a lot of folks there.
I've got it at 149 right now.
149, okay.
Yeah, I think it's close to 150, just like you said.
Yeah, I think last year it was like 120 or something. So they're growing by leaps and bounds. So, Addison, what kinds of things are you actually looking for at the conference this year that might be kind of new and exciting?
Well, there are a couple of new technology trends, of course, that we're always going to be interested in tracking. I'm still interested in what's going on in the file system space. Active archives are an interesting thing coming on strong. We've got to keep looking at the dominant role of GPU computing among accelerators and see how that continues to track. I also want to drop by Oracle's booth and see if they've got anything interesting to say. They keep not talking to us about HPC, but maybe at ISC they'll have something to say.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same thing about Oracle. It's interesting they're going to be there. Mark Hamilton's going to be on the hot seat for Oracle, and they've got
a really hot seat for Mark Hamilton.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I'd like to see that. And yeah, like you said, they haven't said anything publicly about their HPC strategy, and yet they've got to have one because they're showing up. So that'll be news into itself. And then I agree about the GPU technology. There's a lot of activity. There's like a dozen sessions about it. NVIDIA is going to be there for the first time. I think they don't have their own booth, but they're going to be there with Microsoft talking about some cool stuff going on.
And we'll have a couple of podcasts from Hamburg. Our next one, we'll be able to talk about the top 500 list, right?
Yeah, the top 500 is coming up. I wrote a little blog about that today, kind of anticipate what's going on. I'm not actually sure how much turnover there's going to be. I'm thinking in the top 10, although more and more I'm thinking there will be some new entries there. I think we're sort of seeing hints of that. And some of those might be GPU-accelerated supers that are hitting the top 10 this year.
Well, we'll be able to take a look at it in a couple of days, but in the meantime, ISC is getting to a level where a lot of people start to pre-launch their news, like happens with the big important trade shows, so they don't get lost. And there were a couple of interesting stories, Michael, starting with Cray and the Baker supercomputer.
Right, Cray launched in quotes its Baker supercomputer. Basically, gave it its official title, which is XE6.
That constitutes a launch for Cray, Michael. They say, here's a supercomputer and here's what it's called. That's a launch.
That's a launch. Well, it's not shipping until, we're not exactly sure. They're looking at Q3 still for their shipment date, and they haven't set a firm date yet. But yeah, they've given it the designation XE6 to kind of take over the XT line. And that E in there is for Gemini, their new network router, which is a big change for them, something they've been working on for 5 years, and it's their next-generation network. And that's really the big part of Baker. The XT6 technology actually transfers into XE6 with the same compute blades at this point, the new AMD-based blades for the new CPUs, I should say. It's the network that's different. In fact, if you've got an XT6, you can actually just slap in the Gemini network and just upgrade to an XE6. In fact, you can do that even with an XT5. You can get an XE5 just with Gemini. So it's sort of a mix and match there. So it's sort of a smooth little transition for Cray at this point. But it's a big announcement for them because this is the network that's going to take them forward for the next several years. And it's quite a bit more robust and more performant than the C-Star, which they've had for quite a few years now.
Well, these Cray supercomputers have always been about scalable architecture. So you're right. The movement from C-Star to Gemini is a very big deal. And I think it is an important announcement for Cray, regardless of whether, you know, when they're shipping. I don't think that matters. They've got their launch out. And that's going to be a big deal because, you know, Cray is still trying to ride this, this wave as long as they can. You remember going back to supercomputing when we were doing winners and losers, I had Cray as my top winner from the show.
Right.
And, you know, this is the question of whether Cray can stay hot.
Yeah. But I would say it does actually matter when they're going to ship this. They're trying to hit $300 million plus in revenue this year. And if they don't ship those on time in Q3, they're going to miss those. And there's like $200 million worth of back orders on those machines, which is really good. There's a lot of big customers out there willing to pay, but they've got to get that into the field and the market so they can make their numbers this year. So
right. I didn't mean that it never matters when they ship, but I meant that they can decouple shipping from their announcement date. That doesn't matter from a PR standpoint, but absolutely critical to Cray's success is whether or not they're going to make any money and hit their revenue targets. And that's something we've also talked about. So you're right. Let's get them into the market and see the revenue numbers, see the profit numbers. And that'll be a good metric for Cray's success.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, with all those orders, they've generated a lot of interest, and I think they're going to have a lot of success with this system. Nobody else really has something like this that the scale is quite this high out there right now, so it looks like a winner at this point. They just need to put it all together and get it out there.
Michael, one of the other trends we said we're both going to be looking at is what's going on with the newest developments in GPU computing. And I was noticing that GPU computing has gotten enough penetration into HPC that it's penetrated all the way to the interconnect. Now you've got Mellanox and NVIDIA announcing GPU Direct.
Right. That's an interesting little piece of technology that I think is really going to help the GPU computing space. It's like you said, it's with Mellanox and NVIDIA and them work together on it, but it's something that basically allows them to bypass the CPU when the two GPUs are trying to communicate data and shuffle data back and forth.
The GPU can write something directly to a memory space that can be read by other nodes without interrupting the CPU and having them copy it over.
Right. So they're looking, you know, they've demonstrated, you know, some pretty big performance increases because of that. And the speed ups are significant. So this will help that. I mean, the whole idea behind the GPU acceleration is to take advantage of that extra flops without incurring a lot of overhead because there's a CPU to go through. So this will help that. It's an interesting piece of technology. Now, right now, it's just with Mellanox, but, you know, maybe it'll be across all the vendors' adapters at some point. So,
yeah, that was the only thing that was difficult to parse was whether this was a Mellanox announcement or an NVIDIA announcement.
Right, and I think they both worked on it. It's called NVIDIA GPU Direct, but obviously Mellanox was involved. And
it works with Mellanox adapters.
Yeah, so that's something we'll be keeping an eye on. I have a feeling a lot of the big supers coming out with GPU acceleration will be using this to up the performance and to optimize that sort of thing.
Well, and it's a potential big boost for Mellanox as people are experimenting specifically with NVIDIA GPUs, which are dominating the accelerator usage right now. You know, this is similar to linking AT&T service to the launch of the iPhone, right? And when everyone wanted an iPhone, that meant you had to have AT&T. As competition has been heating up in the interconnect space and in InfiniBand in particular, this could give Mellanox a jump up if you really want NVIDIA to perform. It's got to be on Mellanox adapters.
Right. And as I was thinking we were talking about last week, you know, it's sort of the software support around InfiniBand is becoming sort of the differentiator here. So, yeah, you're right. This is another piece of software that's going to maybe able to differentiate some of these solutions out there.
One other story we're taking a look at, Michael, is T Platforms managing this new Rust Nano project.
Right, that was a little interesting piece of news we caught this week. Now, Rust Nano, you just mentioned, is the Russian Corporation of Nanotechnologies. And it's basically a Russian government state corporation that invests in nanotech in Russia. So it's launched this pilot project that establishes high-performance computing for the nanotech industry. And it's starting out with 20 teraflops and a budget of something on the order of $6 million in U.S. dollars.
Right, kind of an umbrella project for nano and supercomputing research.
Yeah, and it's quite unique. I mean, it's hard to compare it to anything else because it's just for this one specific industry, but it's a high-performance right. computing service.
Well, there were a couple of interesting things about it to me because, first of all, you have Russia investing in nanotechnology and supercomputing, which you know is supporting T-platforms and its emergent role as a player in this space. We've already been looking at them coming forward. But the other interesting thing to me about it is that you have the vendor, T-platforms, acting as the manager of the project, which I think in this case is going to work out pretty well, but I couldn't think of any other parallel to it because normally in the U.S. or Europe or other areas, in Asia, what we've seen is that a government agency or a government research lab or even an academic lab would manage the project and select vendors. Here, the money's going to the vendor to manage it.
Yeah, that is unusual, especially considering Russia's history. All of a sudden, they become dedicated capitalists and giving everything to the vendors. Yeah, it seems a little upside down. I mean, they have this state corporation that sort of is in charge of this of the nanotech industry interface. But yeah, they're going to let the vendor on top of them sort of manage this particular service. So yeah, in the U.S., it would have been a government organization, or in any other country, it's usually a government research group of some sort. But yeah, T-platforms, they must have a lot of cred in Russia right now because they seem to be all over the place in HPC. We've seen more and more news about them getting various contracts and projects. So this is a good win for them.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would have necessarily called it upside down in this case, Michael. It is unusual. It's not the normal model that we've seen, but given T-Platform's capability and their role in the Russian HPC landscape, I think it's probably appropriate in this case. And furthermore, I think it's really a step in the direction of HPC as a service, which, we know T-Platform's has aspirations toward. I wouldn't go so far as to say this is HPC as a service yet, but it might be helping to enable it, where now you have a government initiative that they're saying, we're going to invest, we'd like to see these kinds of results. They're giving the money directly to the vendor and saying, you've got to produce. Now, T-Platforms will manage out different parts of this, but given that they're probably going to be providing hardware, they're certainly going to be providing consulting services around it, this really is part of the evolution towards HPC as a service, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think T-Platforms actually has split it up internally. They've got the T-Services side of the business that presumably, like you implied, uses the T-Platforms hardware to do this. So I think they've been thinking about this model for a while, and they've already made that change in their company. And, yeah, whether we'll see how it kind of plays out as far as a true service like you would consider a pure services company, but yeah, I think it's something that could work for them. And since they're sort of in a unique position in Russia, it's not like there's 20 HPC vendors in Russia. They sort of can become like a central point of service for all the local initiatives and handle it themselves. So.
Yeah, I think it is a step up for T-Platforms. It's a big win for them, and it should help raise their profile.
Definitely, and obviously they'll be at the ISC. We'll be looking at them and any other news that comes out.
Be talking to them there. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a big, busy week for us, Michael. And as we mentioned, we're going to record a couple of podcasts while we're in Hamburg. I think our next one we're planning to do will be on Tuesday evening in Hamburg, and then another one as the show winds down on Thursday.
That'll be fun. Hopefully our bandwidth will hold out and we'll get them done and it'll be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to seeing you in Germany, Michael. Safe travels tomorrow and we'll catch up with you in Hamburg.
Same to you, Addison. See you there.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.